As our time at the Hyde Collection draws to a close, we want to meet one more very important member of the team here. June Leary is the Hyde's Curator of Education and is responsible for the programs and lessons being taught here.
And June has been the Director of Big Brothers Big Sisters of the Southern Adirondacks and Education Manager at the Hyde Collection.
And as we mentioned, she is now the Hyde's Curator of Education. She joins us this morning to give us a rundown of her many responsibilities with this summer's Georgia O'Keeffe exhibit, as well for the rest of the museum's varied admission. June, thank you very much for being with us. What a pleasure.
Thank you for having me.
So this is a place. You were here, and then you left, and you came back, and you can't get away.
No.
keeps drawing you back.
Love the Hyde Collection.
What is it about that mission of educating around, let's say, the Hyde specifically, but mm-hmm. a museum in general?
Well, given that museums hold showcase history, whether it's art or other objects, teaching from art and history is just a great place to start. You have so much rich things to share with people and to enrich the lives of people who come in contact with it.
So for you, when you have an exhibit, and we've been talking about this all morning, so with this particular exhibit of modern nature, George O'Keeffe and Lake George, at what point do you get involved and start to work on a curriculum?
Well, probably about 2 years ago, when I returned to the Hyde Collection, I was immediately made aware that this exhibition was coming. And at that point, the planning starts for the interpretation based on what the curatorial department is planning, what their mission is with the exhibition. So working closely with Aaron Coe and the department to pull together ideas that will then take shape in lesson plans and visit programs and our outreach in the community.
So how much does the substantive understanding of what is done by O'Keeffe enter into, or vice versa, I know it's a bad question, into what the students can handle? In other words, if Aaron and I had quite a little discussion about sexuality, mm-hmm. That might not be something that played well in a fourth grade classroom. I'm just wondering whether or not that sort of leads you where you're going.
There's so much more to O'Keeffe, and especially with this exhibition being specifically about place.
Yes.
Classes and children's programming has so much that it can draw from O'Keeffe's words about her love of the color, the seasons, and in the individual works themselves, a concept like tree portraits. What a great way to look at nature, as O'Keeffe did, to pull in that personal element. And we plan to do a lot with children based on her study of nature. As the Lake George Association said, we're looking specifically at the nature. So the controversial parts of O'Keeffe's biography can certainly, those do not have to play into our programming, and we're left with quite a bit else to work with.
And when we say education, you're educating whoever walks through those doors, whether they be a school group or a casual visitor who's from Clifton Park for an afternoon.
Yes, or from Australia, or, you know, from another...
Well, now you're just showing off.
Yes. Or from other arts institutions, yes. And so the interpretive thread remains the same, and it certainly is just modified for each viewer and each group as we entertain them and encounter them.
So what's the formal relationship with the school system, for example?
Well, being a summer show, I can answer Indeed. That in general, but maybe not specifically for this show. Our relationships with the school systems are to connect the art in the permanent collection and our exhibitions to curriculum-relevant associations. We also work with the, I'm studying the Common Core standards to incorporate those into our lesson
plans. Good, you'll
be
the first one to understand them.
You know, I like them, but that's another show. Yeah. And I'm not a classroom teacher, so Moving on. So we try to encourage specific grade levels to come in. Fourth grade, you mentioned, New York State history. Sixth grade with the Renaissance and the Middle Ages. And preschools, especially, to begin an association with families and young children to appreciate the museum as a community resource and hopefully engender a lifelong love of learning outside the classroom.
How do you put it all into context? I mean, obviously there is this exhibit, and this can be one piece, but there's also the Hyde collection as a whole. There is the house. There is their story. So there's a lot.
There's a lot, and I'm glad you asked that, because in my interpretive thread for this summer, I have been pulling the Mrs. Hyde and her collecting, connecting it to Georgia O'Keeffe, who, of course, worked in the early and mid-20th century. That is when Mrs. Hyde was collecting. As Aaron mentioned, the Hyde collection does not own a Georgia O'Keeffe. However, they own an example of one of her instructor's paintings. William Merritt Chase from the Art Students League was one of O'Keeffe's instructors and was actually... he was the reason she had her very first visit to Lake George when she was a resident at Wakanda, at Wiawaka. She had won a scholarship to have a retreat here in Lake George through her work with William Merritt Chase. So we have those kinds of connections. We also have artists who were working at the same time, George Bellows and Yasuo Kuniyoshi is in our collection. So there was a touch into modernism that Mrs. Hyde was beginning to look at. Oftentimes, I think I wish she had brought an O'Keeffe to her collection during O'Keeffe's lifetime and Mrs. Hyde's. But we have this exhibition, so I can hardly say.
Is it too late now?
Oh, I don't believe so. Oh no, we're still very much a collecting institution. Mm-hmm. So that is something for the curatorial department and the director to consider.
What does an O'Keeffe go for these days?
Well, you know, you can find that kind of thing out online with looking at various
auction
sites. Yes. Yeah.
Comparative work, different time periods,
exactly.
And a lot goes into it.
I can't venture.
What are we talking, millions?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. When you look at what is happening in the auction world today and with modernism, definitely.
And still one of the most popular artists.
Yes.
And a household name from most people.
A household name. Yeah. That's what I was going to say.
As we wrap up and your work throughout the summer, as you mentioned, it is so the less with the school groups, but more a lot of kids still coming in, a lot of people still coming in, and a lot of programs. You have a beautiful, and you can find this at HydeCollection.org, a wonderful collection of events that go on throughout the summer, and you'll be leading that charge.
Yes, Aaron and I both. Aaron will be, you've had the Lake George Association visiting today. Aaron's actually speaking there Thursday evening, and she's doing quite a bit of outreach this summer, as is the education department. We do have a family program scheduled here for August 18th, a free day on Sunday, August 18th, as well as our lecture series, as you mentioned, beginning with Bruce Robertson this Sunday at 2 o'clock.
Well, you can find out more information about all of it by going to the website. It's HydeCollection.org, HydeCollection.org. June Leary is the Curator of Education. June, thank you so much for joining us, and best of luck in your very important efforts and the great work that you do.
Well, thank you, and thank you so much for being here today.
Great pleasure. Thank you. You're listening to the Roundtable's live broadcast from the Hyde Collection in Glens Falls, New York, and WAMC.
Support for WAMC comes from Jacob's Pillow Dance Festival in the Berkshires, June 26th through 30th. Company Cafig from Brazil, blending hip-hop and martial arts with contemporary dance, jacobspillow.org for tickets. And Subsidium Technologies, offering custom cloud connectivity, communications, and collaboration network services to clients globally, subsidiumtech.com.
We want to finish up our time in Glens Falls by spotlighting one of our favorite businesses and a place perfect for a post-museum get-together. Davidson Brothers Brewing Company has been crafting wonderful beers and serving delicious meals for the North Country and Southern Adirondack since 1996. Joining us now to discuss Davidson Brothers, their growth, and amazing food and drink, we welcome brewer and owner Rick Davidson, and we also welcome Jason Kissinger. Thank you very much for being with us. We appreciate it.
And I want to add just a wonderful friend to WAMC. Thank you for all of
that. Well, thank you, Alan. Thank you, Joe. Good morning.
Good morning. So you guys have been crazy busy.
Yes, very fortunate.
Okay. So what is an exhibit like this? When we talk about all the things we've been talking about this morning, the Adirondack Theater Festival, which is right across the street from your location, an exhibit like this right down the road, what does that mean for you? What does it mean for the area?
It really is amazing what's happened. You know, we talk a lot about this. One of the reasons we located in downtown Glens Falls is what was going on even 17 years ago for arts and culture. And what happened with the Wood Theater, in the Adirondack Theater Festival, and how the Hyde has grown, and the number of visitors that these types of institutions, attractions attract to this area is incredible. People wouldn't believe the overall growth in the 17 years we've been there and what it means for our business.
So really, did the Hyde people drink beer?
Yeah.
The people are likely to come here.
Amazingly. Yeah. Drink beer, and they come from all over. Of course, and you get an exhibit like this, George O'Keefe, this is going to be huge.
And that's an important point, that their audience is your audience, in the sense that you have this group
looking for culture.
Well, looking for culture and is traveling, has some cash in their pocket, and is interested in not only having a cultural experience, but also within that microbrew mindset of saying, you know, I want to go to a place that has a good product and is also on my list of things to do.
Yeah, very fortunate. Same group, and Glens Falls has done really this community. Great job supporting these kind of institutions, and the institutions themselves have done a great job in investing in themselves and growing. And so we're very fortunate that their customers are our customers.
So we want to talk to Jason in just a second, but before we do that, let's talk about your grand plan. So this is all, you know, this is front page news. So you look up on your what your expansion is, of what you're looking to do up on Route 9, going outside in Queensbury, going out toward Lake George and toward the Great Escape. Some very ambitious, wonderful plans.
Yeah, big. We're going to build a brewery, but not just a brewery. It's really the second largest of these style British breweries in the country, all traditional, handcrafted, open top fermentation, just like we have at Davidson's at the brew pub, just bigger.
What does that mean, open top fermentation?
That means the fermenters, Alan, have no top, just like they do in England. They're just an open vessel,
uh-huh.
And you know, a brick kettle, and there's no buttons, bells, whistles. You know, it's all by hand. And continue this British tradition we've been doing on a bigger scale. And one of the reasons we located where it is it is an area that could use some investment to give visitors more to do in the area, a reason to maybe stay a little longer, one more attraction. It's a great location. Next to the fun spot and across from Sutton's a lot. And so we see it as a family experience.
Yep,
used to be, and it was when I was young, it was a theater.
Yeah, movie theater. That's right. Yeah. I saw the last Dirty Harry movie there.
Yeah.
Sudden Impact. Yeah. Anyway,
so,
go on.
Yeah, so it's going to be it's a sizable investment, but we really think for the community at large, it's another piece to, you know, giving people things to do.
So you are going to be, that will be a tasting room, that will be a brewery tour, but you will still have the location in Glens Falls.
You bet.
Yeah. Yeah. So they'll work in concert with one another.
Hopefully in concert with one another. And hopefully, you know, maybe we can use that location to introduce some people to, we're going to try to actively market the Hyde and actively market the Adirondack Theater Festival, Wood Theater, the Crandall Library, the Chapman Historical Museum, GO, the Children's Museum, all these things that go on in Glens Falls with that location. One of the goals is to maybe get those folks down here for a visit.
Now, as far as the actual of the brewery, and I just so I have this right, is that you brew most of what you pour here. You brew here in Glens Falls, but then there are beers that are bottled and distributed, and those are bottled in Portsmouth, New Hampshire. Yes,
Portland, Maine.
Portland, Maine. Yeah. There you go. Close, but not close enough. Portsmouth, New Hampshire.
Portland, Maine.
And so in Portland, Maine, from there. Would that stop then?
Yeah.
Because it could all be done here.
All done here. And the idea we're going
to
create.
But you have to get it out in a certain amount of time, right? Because otherwise.
No doubt.
It ain't good.
That's right. The fresher, the better.
So now enter Jason into this equation. So this is like kid in a candy store time for you, right?
Absolutely. Yep. Yep. Rick's pretty much given me free rein to kind of help design it with Mike, who's going to be our brewery manager. So two of us are kind of planning around it.
By designing the new facility.
Just how everything's going to get put together and run smoothly. But
ultimately, isn't a big part of this taste? How this thing tastes?
Absolutely, yep.
So it can architecturally be superb.
The system itself is actually it's perfectly built for that. It's a very balanced system, so everything that comes out of it tends to be very, very good. So
they said that about Alice Tully Hall, too.
Yeah, they did. So at what point do you what's our time frame here?
Well, we're hoping to secure the property by next month and start. All the vessels have to be custom made because they don't make these anymore, these breweries. And so hopefully by next May, be up and running and brewing beer and have a tasting room open and tour experience. And we'll be doing soda and we'll be doing a lot of stuff there.
So it obviously takes a long time. It seems to me, and you would obviously know this better than I would, but it certainly seems like the reaction from the community has been incredible.
Always has, you know, from the day that my brother and I, who'd never brewed beer or worked in a restaurant or owned a business, announced Davidson Brothers St. Patrick's Day in 96, full support. Full steam ahead. I mean, this is a great community. And you know, at the time, Glens Falls did not have a tremendous amount to attract a business here. But we see what's happened. The community is very supportive.
I have one last question. Joe loves beer, of course.
Yes.
I had trouble with beer. I had my first one.
Rick's aware of
that. I had my first one the other night. And I actually liked it.
Your first beer ever, really, the other night?
Yeah, really.
And before that,
a Chinese restaurant is very hot. I get it. King Cho or something, I don't remember. So it was very nice, but is it an acquired taste? Beer an acquired taste?
You know, I think like any of that. To me, it was.
Most of us have acquired it, but yes.
To me, it was when I had my first beer. I won't name the brand, but it was the beer that made Milwaukee famous.
Oh yeah,
and it was an acquired taste. But now that I've found and what's happened in America, there's so many different. If you could take the time. You would probably find something you just absolutely love. There's so many different styles.
Are you responsible for the Riley Summer Ale?
I am, yep.
Damn, that's good.
Thank you.
I'm telling you.
Thank you very much.
my brother-in-law, we went in, and this is the great thing about going to your location, by the way, because all your vats and equipment are in the front
right,
window.
Yeah.
And when you're there and I see you guys working in there, I feel like the more we drink, we're keeping you working.
Definitely,
you know, it feels good. You know, like we're helping employment. We've got you guys going.
Yeah.
You know,
it's always
long-term.
Good to kind of look out and see everybody at the bar. And
I'm sure it's lovely.
Oh, you're right.
I'm sure it's
can you
perfect.
Can you get drunk on the fumes?
You can try. I'm not so sure how that's going to work, but
kind of like a magic marker kind of thing.
Yeah.
So tell us about the Riley Summer, because that is amazing. Because you have this I-87.
Mm-hmm.
Was that yours too?
Yep, that was mine as well.
That's great. I'm not a big IPA fan. So that like that.
What's
that,
IPA?
It's an India Pale Ale, and it's a little hoppy for me.
Yep.
But it's still a great beer. I mean, it's a great craft beer.
Yeah, we wanted to find a nice American style IPA. Everything we do is very British, traditional English kind of style.
Right.
But this kind of fit that theme, and naming it after the Northway there was a good idea.
I always thought the Germans were the big beer people. What happened? Why is there all this English stuff?
Oh, there's big beer people everywhere.
that's true, because Germany, a lot of the beer in the United States that you know of really was German.
You bet.
German Czechoslovakian base, but now a British is coming. A lot of American brewers do some British. But it's getting rarer and rarer.
Does that come after the two unfortunate events, you know, around 1918, you know? 19-
yeah, that's very unfortunate.
So,
Send some of the Davidsons back to Scotland.
Unfortunate interludes. The wars. Congratulations to you both. Thank you so much for being with us. Thanks for being, as Alan mentioned, for being such great friends. And you know, we love what you do and all you stand for. And it's great to have you.
Or don't stand for.
Well, thank you both, and thank you, Joe, for all you do in the roundtable, and Alan, and everybody at WAMC, because really, again, it's one of the things in our community that makes our community what it is.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Always good to see you. Appreciate it, Rick. And Jason, a pleasure to meet you.
Thank you.
And again, congratulations on a really great beer. We need to leave this beautiful art museum and leave this loving Adirondack embrace. A reminder that you can find out everything you need to know about the museum and the O'Keeffe exhibit and experience by going to hydecollection.org.
And sincere thanks to all the guests who joined us this morning, with special thanks to Alice Greether, Charles Guerin, and Aaron Coe. Thanks also to Adam Claremont for knowing how to get us on the air and keep it that way. And a big tip of the hat to the man on the board back home, Dave Hopper.
Special thanks to Alan Chartok, and of course to Sarah LaDuc for her role as producer. And thanks to you for joining us this morning. The Roundtable will be back in Studio A tomorrow. Until then, stay tuned for Midday Magazine with Brian Shields. This is Northeast Public Radio, WAMC FM HD, 90.3 Albany, WRUN HD, 90.3 Remsen Utica, WAMK HD, 90.9 Kingston, WOSR HD, 91.7 Middletown, WCEL HD, 91.9 Plattsburgh, WCAN HD, 93.3 Canajoharie, WANC HD, 103.9 Ticonderoga, WAMQ HD, 105.1 Great Barrington, WWES HD, 88.9 Mount Kisco, WANZ HD, 90.1 Stamford, WAMC AM, 1400 Albany.
Coming up on Midday Magazine, Massachusetts Republican Gabriel Gomez and Democrat Ed Markey are racing around the Commonwealth today on this, the final day before the special election for the U.S. Senate seat given up by John Kerry when he became Secretary of State. WAMC's Paul Tuthill and Lucas Willard will have reports. Allison Dunn will report on efforts in Dutchess County to help IBM workers who were laid off by the corporation this month. And a decade after an unsuccessful White House bid, former Vermont Governor Howard Dean got together over the weekend with campaign staff and supporters in Burlington. Our North Country Bureau Chief Pat Bradley was there. We'll hear those stories, many more, plus business news, Paul Caiano with the weather, Rob Edelman with a film commentary. Midday Magazine is next on WAMC.
BBC News with Ian Purden. There's confusion over the whereabouts of the US intelligence contractor Edward Snowden. A representative of the Russian Aeroflot airline said the man who'd leaked information about a massive American internet surveillance program had not boarded the flight from Moscow to Cuba onto which he'd been booked. Oleg Boldarev reports.
The plane which was supposed to carry the most famous fugitive of the moment has left Russia, but the mystery surrounding his whereabouts continues. Unnamed sources in Moscow suggested Snowden may wait for the next Havana flight, or, quite the opposite, that he has already left the country. All that is known for sure is that Russian officials were unusually quiet and have tried their best to give the impression they are not interested in Snowden at all. In the words of the presidential spokesman Dmitry Peskov, "We have no information about him. In a country obsessed with security and anything related to spying, this is very hard to believe."
A court in Italy has sentenced the former Prime Minister Silvio Berlusconi to 7 years in prison for paying for sex with an underage prostitute. Mr. Berlusconi has also been banned from holding public office for life. Alan Johnson has more from the courthouse in Milan.
For 7 hours, these three judges considered their verdict, and when they finally delivered it at the end of the day, it was a crushing one for Silvio Berlusconi. He was found guilty on both counts that he faced. He was found guilty of paying for sex with an underage prostitute, and he was also convicted of then intervening with the police when she got in trouble, when she got arrested. Mr. Berlusconi vigorously denies all counts against him, and you can be sure that he'll take every opportunity to appeal, and this case still has a long way to go yet.
The South African President Jacob Zuma has said the country's former leader Nelson Mandela remains in a critical condition. Mr. Zuma again urged South Africans to pray for the health of the anti-apartheid hero.
I think what we need to do as a country is to pray for him. Is to pray for him to be well. Is to ensure that the doctors do their work so that he could come out of the hospital. That's what we can do for Madiba as a country. If we did that, I think we'd be honoring Madiba and his life.
Family members, including his former wife Winnie Mandela, have visited the hospital in Pretoria where he was admitted 17 days ago with a recurring lung infection. Somalia's money transfer businesses have appealed to the last major British bank they work with, Barclays, not to close their accounts, warning this would cut lifeline services. In the absence of a formal banking system, many Somalis depend on money transfers from relatives abroad. Barclays